Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you will come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Now, we hope you enjoy this lesson brought to us by Paul Owen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Acts, the 27th chapter, beginning in verse 9. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind, called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught, and could not bear up into the wind, they let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, they had much work to come by the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And then, being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should have been saved was then taken away. You may be seated.
Good morning to you, everybody. What a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day He has presented to us. I was just looking out this window with the sun coming through it and looking at all the trees that are budding and just reminded that God really loves us. Isn't that great to know that God loves you more than anybody on earth could love you? And so He takes good care of us, as we've talked about today in our singing and in our prayers. And there's nothing that ever is going to separate us from the love of Christ that we've talked about in our scripture readings today. Ernest Shackleton was an Anglo-Irish explorer and launched the Imperial Transantarctic Expedition in 1914. During the expedition, the ship Endurance became trapped in ice and for months drifted until the pressure of the ice crushed and sank the ship. Shackleton and his men were stranded on the ice floes where they camped for 5 months. The men sailed three small lifeboats to Elephant Island, which is inhabited and provided no hope for rescue. Shackleton and the other five set out to take the crew's rescue into their own hands. In a 22-foot lifeboat, they survived a 17-day, 800-mile journey through the world's worst seas to South Georgia Island, where a whaling station was located. The six men landed on an inhabited part of the island, so their last hope was to cross a 26 miles of mountain and glaciers, considered impassable. To reach the whaling station on the other side, Shackleton and two others made the trek and arrived safely in August of 1916, 21 months after the initial departure of Endurance. With the help of the Chilean government and its navy, Shackleton returned to rescue the men on Elephant Island. Not one member of the 28-man crew was lost. I want to tell you, when I read a story like that, I think, wow, what an amazing story of survival. Well, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that there is a story of such survival in our Bibles, chronicled for us by Luke, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. If you've not already done so, let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to Acts, the 27th chapter, Acts 27. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Paul tells us this. He says, look, he says, three times I was beaten with rods. He said, once I was stoned. He said, three times I was shipwrecked. A night, and he says, a day, I was in the deep. What's interesting is that Paul wrote these words before the events of Acts chapter 27. And so this morning, what I want to do with you, I want to go ahead and look at this account of Paul's harrowing voyage at sea. And so chapter 27 begins, Luke begins it like this. He says, when the decision had been made that we would sail for Italy. And what Luke is telling us is, as he, Aristarchus, were accompanying Paul on the journey. And the voyage and shipwreck of St. Paul, that's a book that was written. The author says, no sailor would have written in a style so like that of a sailor. And then he said, no man, not a sailor, could have written a narrative of a sea voyage so consistent in all of its parts unless from actual observation. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to look at the details of this account, and then I want to apply, help us to apply some important principles to your life and to my life. Because I'm here to tell you this morning that, listen, that the storms of our lives do not occur on the Adriatic Sea as they did with Paul. But they do occur, don't they? Oh yes, you're well aware of that. And they usually evolve around our relationships in our lives. The ebb and flow of our finances, our health as we live in these frail bodies, and even our faith in Christ Jesus, either through temptation that Carrie talked to us about on Wednesday night, or sometimes those who resist the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what I want to do is I want to begin here, and I want you to first look at the decision to sail. So in the very first verse of chapter 27, it reveals that a decision had to be made whether they were going to go to Rome on a boat, on a ship, or whether they were going to travel on foot. Now listen to me. It was often the practice of the Apostle Paul that when he went west, he would usually go on foot. And when he went east, he would usually sail. That's because the winds most of the time made it difficult to go west. And oh, my friends, if you waited into late fall, into winter, as this account here is written, I mean, the winds were especially brutal. And so the centurion said, you know what? I think we're just going to go for it, and we're going to sail. Now, we don't know all the reasons he wanted to do this. The Bible lists a few, but I think it's interesting that Paul was not the only prisoner on board this ship. There were several others. And so maybe, just maybe, he's thinking to himself, you know what? I can contain all these prisoners on a ship. That I can do. And they will not easily escape. And so maybe that was his rationale for making sure that they were going to not escape by taking a ship. But if you look at our map, and Spencer, pull up our map, you can see, as this indicates, with the way that the captain went, that's the way most seagoing vessels would go in that part of the world. You see that they would stay just as close to land as they possibly could, because the land would provide a natural wind break. And so what happens here is that they're going to go ahead and they're going to sail, and the winds are already somewhat contrary. And so what we read is they already had to change course, and so they are going to go to the island of Crete now. So that was the decision to sail. But now, secondly, I want you to see the warning that could have saved the ship. So with a lot of struggle, the ship finally makes it to the south of Crete, to a little town called Fair Havens. And I want you to understand something, is that Paul was an experienced survivor of shipwrecks. And so he talks to those people who were at the powers that be, the captain, the pilot, and he says, you know what? He says, I perceive that this voyage, he said, it's going to end in disaster, and he says, with much loss. He said, not only with the cargo and ship, but he says also our lives. Now, I don't know if the Lord gave that message to Paul or if that was just his own judgment. The Bible simply does not say. But the people who were to make the decisions, we do know this, they ignored Paul's counsel. And they were going to go ahead and try to make it another 40 or 50 miles west to a port called Phoenix. You say, well, Paul, exactly why would they try this risky venture? Well, it could be a few reasons. Number one, the pilot probably thought he could make it. Have you ever felt that way? You know, you have, you're in your car and your wife's next to you and you pull up and there's water on the road and your wife says, I think we ought to turn back. That water looks a little deep. And what do you say? We can make it. Isn't that what you say? Last famous words, we can make it. And that's exactly what he must have said. I think we can make it. But secondly, it's interesting that Phoenix was better than Fair Havens to winter. And so they said, well, it's a better place. We want to try to make it to Phoenix. But thirdly, the Bible says the majority agreed. Isn't that interesting? Don't always go with the majority because they agreed. And then the Bible says that they received a favorable wind. So maybe, just maybe, they thought, you know, this is kind of a sign that everything's going to be okay. And you know what? Had you and I been the captain of that ship, we may have done the same thing. It is very possible. All right, so that's the warning that could have saved the ship. But now I want you to come to the storm. Look at the storm. As they begin to go northwest, all of a sudden there came a hurricane wind, a nor'easter, literally. And it surprised them. And it came at them and it began to blow that ship away. Now, I want to tell you something about the ship just for a second. We already read that when they got to Myra, the captain decided that he was going to get onto a larger ship. And so what they really did is got on a grain ship. Now, these ships didn't have rudders like we know today. They were steered by these two giant paddles that came out of the back of the ship, one on either side, and they steered the ship that way. And they usually only had one sail, and so these big lumbering ships were really at the mercy of the weather. So here is this ship, and it is being blown away from land and is being blown out to sea. And so they had a boat that they were pulling, and so they stowed that boat. And what they did is they took the rope and they bound it around the ship to hold the ship together. They understood the situation very well. And this area of the world was known for shipwrecks. As a matter of fact, northern Africa was littered with pieces of ship because of ships running aground and being crunched and crumbled by the many sandbars and also the rocky coast. So knowing this, they dropped their anchor. They began to lighten the ship, anything heavy, grain, tackle. Tom read for that this morning. They began to throw it out to lighten the ship so that the ship could ride the massive waves. And it's interesting that in verse 27, the Bible tells us that they endured this for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Now, I get seasick pretty quick, so I don't go out in a boat that much. But can you imagine this kind of horror and terror so relentless? It lasts for 2 weeks? Do you understand what these people went through on this ship? I mean, they endured thunders and lightnings, riding these gigantic waves, darkness, soaked clothes, panic, seasickness, fear. And so all hope was being lost that they were going to be saved. And that's when we come to the next point, and that is Paul's encouragement. Paul's encouragement. And so let's look at the passage in Acts chapter 27, beginning in verse 21. Acts 27, 21, and it's up there on the screen. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And he says it again in verse 25, Therefore, take heart. Now, Paul is not poking his finger in their face, and he's not saying, I told you, I told you. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. He's saying, listen, you should have listened to me. I was right about the warning not to sail from Crete. And so I want you to listen to me now. That's what he's saying. Paul is simply establishing his credibility before these people. And he tells them two things that's going to encourage them. He says, number one, God stood by me. Those are powerful words, right? He says, there stood by me this night an angel. And so while everybody else on the board of this ship has believed that their God has abandoned them, Paul says, look, an angel of God stood by me. The God whom I serve, to whom I belong, he says, stood by me. He reaffirmed his love for me, his care for me, and his plan for me, that I am going to stand before Caesar. Isn't that great? So he encouraged them with those words, but that wasn't the only thing. The second thing is this. He said, no one will be lost. So the message that the angel gave Paul just so wasn't for Paul himself, but it was also for every member upon this ship. God's love for Paul and Aristarchus and Luke meant that everybody on that ship would be saved. All their lives would be spared. Isn't that great? How the blessings of God's, when he blesses his people, sometimes people in the world also benefit. Well, that's exactly what happened here. So we come to the place in our passage, in our lesson today, where we have to ask the question, so what? So what? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? And I want to share with you a few things I pray will be helpful to all of us. Number one, God understands our storms. God understands our storms. You see, it's very easy when you or I are in the midst of difficulty that lasts for many days, more than 2 weeks, sometimes 2 years. It's easy for us to say, you know what? I'm in this. I feel all alone. God doesn't understand what I'm going through. You know what? That's simply not true. It's not true. He does understand. Because he too knows the hostility and hatred that can come from a crowd. The punishment that comes from a government. The extreme pain and horror of being crucified. For all of the sin of all mankind, for all of time being piled on him at one time. He knows. He knows what it's like to feel abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken me? To feel alone, deserted, betrayed. My friends, he knows your hurt. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But he says, but he was tempted in all points. Did you hear that? In all points, as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He knows and understands our difficulties. But secondly, our response to the storms can bless the lives of other people. So all the other people on the boat, as we've said, were saved from drowning because Paul was a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. So what happened is God's blessing overflowed. You believe that's true? I always marvel at what God told Abraham. After Abraham started at 50 and he went all the way down to 10, God said, Abraham, for 10 righteous people, I will save the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's it. 10 righteous, I'll save these cities. Is that amazing to you? It is to me. How about America? Where are we? Oh, my, my. I know that we have been blessed by God because there are righteousness in this land. That we have been saved from the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon the wicked because of the faithful Christians in this land. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, your faithful living not only makes a difference for your own soul, but those people around you. It makes a difference. So we should always be, listen, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are to be the preservative that keeps the world from going bad. Our response. Number three, sometimes our storms are self-inflicted. Now, the reason that Paul was in this storm is because why? It was because the captain and the centurion would not listen to his counsel. So, no, they are there. And so many times that's the way it is in our own life. It's because we do not listen to the wise counsel of God's holy word that sometimes we get into the messes that we get in. I think about marriages who end in tragedy because a faithful Christian did not listen to God's wise counsel to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. People who get into debt and have to declare bankruptcy because, well, they did not listen to the Bible, that we should be content with such things as we have. People have difficulty with their jobs because they will not submit and give honor to their superiors. People get in all kinds of trouble because they fly off the handle. They have a terrible temper and the wrath of man does not inconsistent with the righteousness of God, James 1. You have teen pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases because young people do not flee from youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. And so sometimes it's true. So if you are in a self-generated, self-imposed storm, you need to do what Jonah did when he was in his self-inflicted storm. You need to repent. You need to repent. Accept accountability. Say, you know, this is my fault. This is on me. And don't cast blame elsewhere. But sometimes that's not the way it is. Sometimes it's not self-inflicted storms. You know, Paul had no choice, didn't he? I mean, here Paul is in the midst of this storm, and he was thinking to himself, didn't I tell them? Didn't I warn them? But yet here I am. He had no choice. He wasn't the cause of the storm. And so it is with us sometimes. You know, sometimes we really are victims, right? Of a crime. Sometimes there's false accusations, manipulation. Maybe a drunk driver that comes into our lane and hits our car, our family's car, or something like that. Maybe someone texting does the same thing. You know, it's not our fault. We didn't cause it. And sometimes there's just no discernible reason why we do suffer. Why is it that one person gets cancer and dies and the other person recovers? Why is it this one brother in the family, he gets heart disease and has a heart attack and he dies, and the other brother, well, he seems like he's immune. And so sometimes we wonder, you know, why does this happen in this way? And sometimes we don't know. I mean, you think about a car wreck sometimes. This person was killed instantly. This person over here, well, they came away unscathed. Why do some people have to deal with emotional struggles like depression? And panic attacks and mental illness. I don't know. But I do know that if you're in a storm that's not self-induced, what you need to do is this, is you need to trust and you need to hold on to the promises of God. Like what we read this morning, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. That all things are going to work together for good, that those who love Him according to His purposes. that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Those kinds of things. I can't help thinking about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember, he too was in a storm. It was some kind of physical affliction, a thorn in the flesh, the Bible says. We don't know what it was, but we know why it was given, but he didn't. The Bible says it was a messenger for Satan so that he would not be overly exalted. He wouldn't be prideful because of the things that he saw, called up to the third heaven. And he didn't like it, and he wanted away. And so the Bible says he prayed 3 times that the Lord remove it. Lord, I didn't cause it. Take it away. And what'd he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so there's our answer. Let's accept God's grace and let's hold on to his promises. Number 4, storms cannot hide the face of God. They cannot hide. So these sailors are 2 weeks in this terrible storm. It seems like it's not ever going to end. They are going to perish. They're going to be lost at sea. Nobody but nobody will ever find their remains. And here is this angel standing beside Paul. Listen to me. God never loses track of you. He never will. There is never an hour that is so dark and stormy in your life that he cannot find you. God is always near us. And isn't that what Paul told the Athenians in Acts chapter 17? He said, God is not far from any of us, but in him we live and move and have our very being. God is always near us. Don't ever forget that. And then fifthly, God gives us the opportunity to evangelize in these difficulties. You see, when we go through something like this, sometimes we have the opportunity to tell others about the greatness and faithfulness of God and how he sustains us through the difficult times. Look, God often gives us a platform to share our faith that we wouldn't have otherwise. Where people, we have an audience and they want to hear and they want to listen because they know what we're going through. And maybe they wouldn't listen to you any other way, but through this circumstance, they will. So let me summarize this morning. What is it that you're going to do when you come to the next storm? Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. You will go through the next storm. If you live, you'll go through it. Everybody does. And occasionally even a train wreck. What are you going to do? The first thing you need to do, listen, is pray. Pray fervently, deeply. Be honest with God. Talk to him about your fear, your confusion, your frustration, even maybe, just maybe your anger. He's the greatest resource you have in your life. Run to him. Do not run from him. The second thing you need to do is trust God's holy word. I've been through a few of these storms myself, and I want to tell you, I go and I find the promises of God. I go to the New Testament. I go to the book of Psalms and I will read those promises every day over and over and over and over to become where they become a part of my soul. They sustain me. They strengthen me. God's holy word. Repent of any known sin. Perhaps it is that you're in this mess because of something that you did. If you know about it, my friend, repent of it and try to right the wrong if you're able. And then lastly, wait on the Lord. Oh, isn't that the hardest? Are you impatient? Just me? I'm impatient. I really am. And that's hard, but I want to tell you, look, Paul stayed on the seas 2 weeks before he ever reached land. Don't you know he prayed more than once? It's God's timing, right? Oh, Joseph, didn't he stay in prison for more than 2 years before he came to power in Egypt? How about that? Abraham, didn't Abraham wait 25 years for Isaac? So we have to wait on, we have to be patient. We want the fix now. It's uncomfortable. It hurts. We worry. Listen, God's timing is always perfect. And the time now is to prepare. The time now to prepare for the storm is now. I think it's so interesting, you know. Paul didn't get in that storm and have to find his relationship with God, so to speak. It already existed. He didn't have to find the promises of God. He already knew them. He didn't have to say, "Will you teach me to pray?" Prayer was a practice of his life. And that's what we have to do. Brothers and sisters, we have to stay in the book every day. Continue to renew our mind and deepen our faith. Study His Word. Worship with our family. And lean on His promises. This morning, if you are not a Christian, I hate to tell you this, but this is the truth. You have none of this. I mean, you're on slippery ground, my friend, and you're going to fall, and there's going to be no one to catch you because you don't have Christ. You're not in Christ. Will you get into Christ today? Remember what Ananias told Paul in Acts chapter 9? He said, "Paul, why are you waiting for?" We could look this morning, and if you know the gospel plan of salvation, say, "What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That old Ethiopian eunuch says, "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Today, what hinders you from being baptized? And so Philip said, "Look, if you believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they went down to the water. He was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. Will you do that today, right now, as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen. If you have comments or questions, Paul can be reached by email at owen@westhuntsville.org.